This is episode 227 of the Prepper Website Podcast, where I connect you with resources that will help you live a more self-reliant life. Today's articles are How to Make a Burn Barrel Burn Safe with Less Smoke and Using the 22 for Self-Defense. Hey, I'm Todd Sepulveda, the editor of PrepperWebsite.com. This podcast is an audible version with some commentary of articles that have been posted on Prepper Website, a daily curation of preparedness information. These articles are some of the best that have been recently posted on PrepperWebsite.com. All article links and show information can be found on the PrepperWebsitePodcast.com. Hey, before we get started, you can make sure that you get the Prepper Website Podcast delivered to your preferred device without fail. We make it very easy for you to subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, or any other favorite podcast network. And again, if you feel you are receiving value from the podcast, we do appreciate your kind reviews. Hey guys, before we get started, I want to kind of make a little announcement. I kind of did this at the spur of the moment, and so, but I did want to announce it before we go into the weekend. One of the most popular pages on Prepper Website is the Alternative News Hub, or Alt News Hub. And basically, because of the theme on Prepper Website, I'm able to do RSS feeds, and so that page basically is a page of RSS feeds from a lot of alternative news sites that I frequent, you know, when I'm looking at alternative news and stuff like that. So I mean, it's just easier to put it all on one page, and so that has become a very popular page on Prepper Website. And so I decided to kind of throw some of those over to Facebook, and I created an alt news hub Facebook page. And so I'm not there pushing the button every single time posting. It's more automated, so it's going to kind of run automatically. But if you are someone who likes alternative news, if you're on Facebook quite a bit, that might be something that you might be interested in. I'm going to encourage you to come on over and like the page. I'm going to link to it in the show notes. It's called the Alt News Hub. And go right over there and just like it. And so you're going to start seeing, it's working. So I wanted to make sure that it was working, but it is working. So you're going to start seeing articles posted every hour, every couple of hours on there. And so it'll stay pretty recent, pretty frequent, and it's going to be up to date. So if you're looking at alt news and some of the other alternative news sites on Facebook that I was looking at, were really only kind of promoting their own website. And so I was a little bit more about, hey, let's go ahead and put everything that's out there. And I guess that's kind of what I do, man, with Prepper Website, with the podcast. I'm just trying to bring the best information to people out there and put it in a place where it's easy to find. So if you're not going to over to Prepper Website on a regular basis and checking out all the feeds that are there, this is going to be right in your feed on Facebook. And so again, I'm going to link to it in the show notes. If you are on Facebook and it's something that you want to see these articles come in your feed, go like it and go check that out. I welcome you to come be a part of that over there on Facebook. So that is the Alt News Hub. All right, so let's go ahead and jump right into our first article of the podcast. It comes to us from commonsensehome.com. And this article was actually posted a long, long time ago. And so they updated it and reposted it. And it was recently posted on Prepper Website. But I got to be very honest with you. It's one of those that I haven't seen in a long time. Where you're talking about a burn barrel. And so you might have a burn barrel. I've talked about this pretty often. I live in the suburbs, but I was driving home from work today, and I saw people burning stuff in a burn barrel. And so it wasn't a 55-gallon drum type barrel, they were burning trash in a barrel. And so it's something that is easily done. But if you don't have any experience with it, you might just say, hey, I've got a 55-gallon drum, and let me go ahead and throw some trash in it and go for it from there. But there's a little bit more to it. And so this article is going to walk you through and help you to understand what to do with it, and then or how to get it to burn optimally. And then what do you do at the end after you fill up your burn barrel? I mean, after you do a bunch of burning, what do you do with all that kind of stuff? A little bit of information there. And so I think this is one of those, you know, the good pieces of information. If we ever get to a situation where the poop really does hit the fan, that's one of those things where we always talk about, like, what are we going to do with our trash? And so you have a little bit of information here on how to set up a burn barrel. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Like I said, it's coming to us from commonsensehome.com, how to make a burn barrel burn safe with less smoke. These instructions will help you make your own burn barrel for a country property or for emergency trash disposal. There are also a couple of commercial burn barrel options you can buy at the end of the post. You don't need to build a burn barrel so much as assemble the right parts correctly to minimize smoke into ash. Love them or hate them, burn barrels are a part of country living. With the cost of dropping trash at local dumps going up, more and more people are returning to using burn barrels. People sometimes complain about the smoke and the smell of a burning barrel of trash, but if you burn correctly, smoke and odor should be minimal. So what is a burn barrel? A standard burn barrel is a metal 55-gallon open head drum, modified to burn household trash safely and cleanly. Basically, it's a personal incinerator. If you don't have one and are thinking of making one, please check local ordinances. You can also buy burn barrels ready-made. See bottom of the post. How do I make a burn barrel? The materials that are needed for a burn barrel are a 55-gallon open head or open on one end steel drum, not plastic, a handgun or a drill for making air holes. I got to tell you, I'm just picturing people shooting their 55-gallon drum to make air holes in it. But anyway, two concrete blocks, metal grate or a heavy fencing section to cover barrel opening, a piece of sheet metal to cover the barrel opening. Where to locate a burn barrel? Choose a location for your barrel that is down the prevailing wind of your home and free of trees and other combustible material. Some locals will dig up the sod under their barrels and fill it in with sand. It's nice, but not necessary. Assembling the burn barrel. Place air holes in your metal drum for air to enter during the burning process. How you put the holes in the drum is up to you. Some people use a drill, others use a handgun. Drill 4 half-inch holes in the bottom of the drum to allow any rainwater to run out. Drill approximately 20 holes in the sides of the drum at varying heights. Create a fire cover using an old grill top or fencing and bend it so it fits on loosely. And cut a piece of steel siding or roofing as a rain cover. Put hooks or tie on it so if you have a strong wind. Don't drill too many or your barrel will rust out faster or fail in the event of an aerosol can exploding inside the drum. Once the holes are in place, set the barrel opened and up onto some concrete blocks. Make sure the edges of the barrel are on the blocks, but there is enough air space directly under the barrel. This is done to permit airflow and help with drainage. And I'm just going to tell you, there's a couple of great pictures here, so you can come check this out. And they're kind of labeled to get you to see exactly what they're talking about. So if this is something that you're going to do, you know, come over and check this out. Burn barrel covers. When the barrel is in use, the opening should be covered by a burn cover. A burn cover is a metal grate, fencing, or hardware cloth that will trap burning materials in the barrel. This limits the risk of combustible material escaping the barrel. When not in use, the barrel should be covered by the sheet metal rain cover. A cover will stop the contents inside the barrel from getting wet and make for an easier burn. If you have trash waiting to burn, it will also keep the barrel from rusting as quickly. What can I burn in a burn barrel? Households produce trash. It's a fact of life. The efficiency of how well your barrel will operate begins in your kitchen. Don't burn recyclables or food scraps, compost, or feed to the chickens. Other non-combustible items like light bulbs. Household hazardous waste such as paint and chemicals. Contact your local municipality for proper disposal options. And don't burn furniture or any large items such as bags from silage. This is strictly for small amounts of easily burnable trash. Do burn non-recyclable plastic. I'm talking the occasional small container, not large volume waste. Food wrappers. Paper and cardboard not suited for recycling. Waxy or coated with food waste. recycle and compost. Separate out any recyclables and use your local recycle center. Many common plastic containers such as laundry jugs, shampoo, dish soap, vinegar, etc. are number one and number two, which are recyclable in most areas. Plastic grocery bags can now be dropped off at many retailers. Number five containers, such as yogurt cups, sour cream containers, lip balm containers, and others, have been difficult to recycle, but there is a new website that lists over 200 locations worldwide that now accepts the number five plastic for recycling. Just really quick on that, you know, when I'm thinking like a sour cream container or yogurt cup, when I was, one of Mark Goodwin's books talks about the old, you know, grandma going out and, using every container possible to start seedlings in. And that might be something that you might want to do. I mean, I know people might say the plastic is going to leach and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, you're just really trying to, you have something for your plants to, or your for your seeds to germinate in. So that might be possible. You can always use, if you are accustomed to buying the same type of yogurt things over and over again, there's got to be other uses for that. If you're in a situation like you're in the country and you've got to get rid of those, one of the great things about the internet is you can Google how to recycle and how to reuse things and come up with, some cool ways of doing that. So that's what I would do as far as if I had those kinds of containers. I know that I save, we go through coffee, the big plastic Folgers coffee cans. I wish they still made them metal, but they don't. But I still save those because they have so many uses. We the creamer that we buy after we finish using those. We talked about the economy just recently this week. The containers, the creamer that the creamer comes in. The ones before were really hardcore. I mean, they were really, really nice. And although they were creamer containers, they're watertight because you can fill them up with water and you can put the top on there and shake it really good and nothing would come out. But as the economy is, it's kind of like tanking and the vendors are trying to find ways to save money. It seems like the plastic that the creamer is coming in, it's a lot thinner. And it's not as sturdy. I mean, it still works, and it's still a decent container. You can still use it to store stuff. I mean, there's just, they're big, and you can just use them for stuff. But, there's always ways that you can, use those kinds of things. And sometimes, I mean, if you just cleaned them out, let them, wash them out, let them dry out, and then put them up, even if you have to put them up in like a big garbage bag and then put them up in the garage somewhere, you have them if you need them. There's always times where you're going to need containers like that. All right, so let's continue moving along. Separate out your food scraps and feed them to your animals or throw them in your composting bin. Everyone should have one. The EPA estimates that roughly 14% of municipal solid waste is food scraps, and 13 is yard trimmings. That's close to 30% of waste that should be composted. I completely agree with that, with this article when it talks about that. It's hard when you don't have an easy means of doing that. But that is so, so true. We throw away so much food, but it would be smart to be able to use that in a in a positive way, and composting it, or if you had some animals that you could give it to. All right, continuing on. Other items can be thrown into the trash can as usual. When your burn bag is full, take it out to the burn barrel. How do I use a burn barrel? This is where a lot of folks screw up, the results of which lead to smoky, stinky operation of burn barrels that irritate neighbors and are just plain nasty. Place your bag of trash into the burn barrel. Burn your trash one bag at a time. If you fill the burn barrel with too much trash, it will not burn completely and will smolder instead of burn. If you have more than one bag of trash, you can either light the first one and wait for it to burn down and then insert the next bag, or as most locals do, have another barrel with a rain cover and insert the second bag into the second barrel and cover to burn at a later time. Editor's note. Growing up on the farm, we never used an accelerant for lighting trash fires. We always set aside some dry newspaper and used that to start the fire. While C.J. Harrington did provide instructions for using an accelerant, I can't share those due to liability concerns. If you can get a charcoal grill or campfire started, you should be able to start a trash fire. If you need fire starting tips, visit Campfire Dude. And there is a link here to Campfire Dude, the website. Note, Common Sense Home and C.J. Harrington assume no liability for burn barrel use. Please be careful. You know, it's dumb that we have to do that, right? It's really dumb that we have to do that to protect ourselves. But how many times do we do that? Or if someone writes a post on some kind of like a health related thing, you have, you know, so many times you put that into the article to protect yourself, you know, because there's always some yahoo that will do something and then go back and say, well, I read it on this website and want to sue you. But anyway, so, you know, we always do that in websites, in our articles, or, you know, website owners always do that in their articles. It's like, hey, we're not taking responsibility. This is for educational purposes, blah, 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 blah. But it's sad that we have come to this time in our history where just common sense isn't common. All right. At this point, your trash is burning. Smoke is hopefully blowing away from your house and you still have eyebrows. What do I do with the ashes and unburned content in the barrel? After using your barrel for a while, you will have a buildup of ash and small unburned, unburnable items in your barrel. What do you do with it? Locals will wait until the barrel is about half full of ash. Then they will empty the burn barrel into a large, heavy-duty trash bag and take it to the local dump. Seems silly to take the leftovers from a burn barrel to the dump. Not really, when you consider the money saved by burning many bags of trash in your barrel or the space you are saving in a landfill. It makes sense. Also, the ash may contain metals and other chemicals you don't want in your compost or yard. Other burn barrel considerations. And you know, one of the things that you can do there, just before I move on, you can have two burn barrels. And, you know, if you have things that are have metals and, things that are, that are not maybe wood-based or paper-based or those kinds of things that you might feel safe to go ahead and throw into a compost pile or bury on your property. So you can have two, and you can even siphon out your trash even more that way. And so then you would have one burn barrel that was for stuff that you really did have to empty out every time it got about half full and take it somewhere. Okay, other burn barrel considerations. For safety, don't burn on windy days. Place your trash in your barrel and put the rain cover on and wait for a calm day. Make absolutely sure there are no aerosol cans in your trash. They will explode in your barrel. If your barrel has too many holes in it or is badly rusted, this could cause the barrel to fail, sending flaming trash everywhere. Yeah, that wouldn't be good, right? Watch your weather. If it's been hot and dry, there might be a fire ban in effect. Then you will want to take your trash to the dump until the ban is lifted. Be considerate of your neighbors. Burning your trash during the evening when people are eating dinner or enjoying sitting out on their deck is not advised. In this case, try to burn your trash during the day when the neighbors are at work. Some locals will come together and arrange a time to burn. That way, no one is hanging clothes out on the line, having a party in the yard, or has windows open when the neighbor lights up his burn barrel. If you're going to burn, burn safely. More and more people are returning to the traditions they grew up with and going back to using burn barrels. Look in backyards, behind garages, you will still see them. You can be assured they are still being used. If you choose to use a burn barrel, do it the right way. Stay safe and keep it neat. All right. So, and this was a guest post, and like she said, or like the article said at the beginning, there are some burn barrels that you can buy that are already created. Some of these look pretty cool. I mean, I have to say, I mean, I don't know how much they cost, but some of these, you know, look like they're pretty efficient in how they burn. But normally, you know, when I remember, and I've talked about this before when my brother was on the episode when we talked about burns, we had a burn barrel up in the country in my dad's, the first place that we ever had. And but I'll be very honest, we did not follow these rules. I mean, we didn't have it up on blocks. to allow for drainage and air. And I don't remember air holes on the side, although, I mean, it's been such a long time. I might, you know, it might have had it, and I just don't remember it. I like the ideas of having the rain cover, and I like the idea of having the burn cover. And like I said, there's pictures here that you can come look at and get an idea of what they're talking about. I just think that's a really great idea to make sure that things don't fall out. And I do remember there was a time when we filled up our burn barrel. I mean, you know, we're city people, you know. And when I was just a young kid, but I remember some trash came out of the barrel and started a little bit of a grass fire. And it wasn't a big one. We put it out very, very quickly. But, you know, having that burn cover would have stopped that. And so that's a great, great idea on having that. So, you know, and it kind of looks like maybe like an old cage. If you can, you know, like a wire cage, maybe the backside of it has been cut out or whatever. It looks like that's what they're using. So easy to do with little holes. I mean, little square holes, maybe like about 1 inch or whatever. And that you know, that's what it looks like that they're using to cover their burn barrel. Anyway, so there's comments, and like I said, it's an old article. There's people that are commenting. Some people that are let's just say they're very liberal in some of the things that they said, and people got on and really, really ripped them and went to town on them. And so you can go check those out. There's some other good advice there, but it's just kind of funny reading some of those comments there. Again, that's over at commonsensehome.com. How to make a burn barrel. Go check that out. I think that is a great article and good information to know. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to our next article of the podcast. All right, on the Friday podcast, I like to go into the Prepper website archives and find an older article and bring that out. And it's kind of crazy because I've already brought out an old article, although it was recently republished. But this one is really from the archives here. And it comes to us from ActiveResponseTraining.net. And the title is Using the 22 for Self-Defense. Now, you know, you hear that and you're like, well, what the heck? What do you mean by that? So Greg did an article for a magazine, and this article is responding to some of the criticism from that article, and he's just trying to, you know, help people understand why he came to the conclusions that he came to. And so I thought it was very interesting, and so I wanted to read that for you today. So here we go. Again, the title of this article is Using the 22 for Self-Defense. Since my handgun stopping power study was published last month in American Handgunner magazine, I received several questions from readers about my data. I expected to be castigated by all the big bullet aficionados for reporting honest data about the mouse gun's calibers. That wasn't what I received. All the email that I got was from 22 advocates telling me that I misinterpreted my data and that the 22 is the best defensive cartridge ever invented. Really? I'm open to an honest discussion about the relative merits of carrying a 22 in certain situations, but I promise you that if I was to grab a gun right now, knowing that I would be getting into a gunfight, my 22s would be very low on the list. Here's a summary of the data I reported and the heart of the controversy. So I'm going to go ahead and read this. I don't normally read like a graphic to you, but this is some data here, and I think it's interesting. So there's four columns. There's the caliber. There's the percentage stopped after one shot. So percentage of people stopped after one shot. And then how many shots. And the third column is how many shots to stop. And then the fourth column is percentage that did not stop. All right, so here we go. The 22, and that's short and long range or long rifle. The percentage stopped after one shot was 60%. So 60% of people that were shot with the 22 stopped. 60% of them stopped after the very first shot. How many shots to stop? Total was 1.38. And then the percentages that did not stop, 31%. All right, so we have some big numbers there. So you'll see compared to some of the other ones. The 25 ACP, percentage stop after one shot was 49%. How many shots to stop was 2.2. and percentage that did not stop, 35%. 32 caliber, 72% is the percentage that stopped after one shot. How many shots to stop was 1.52, and the percentage of people that did not stop was 24%. 380 ACP, 62% stopped after one shot. How many shots to stop was a total of 1.76, and then 16% did not stop. 9mm Luger, 47% stopped after one shot. How many shots to stop? 2.45, and then percentage that did not stop was 13. 38, 55% stopped after one shot. How many shots to stop? 1.87, and percentage that did not stop, 17%. 357, 61% stopped after one shot, 1.7 shots to stop, and then 9% that did not stop. 40 caliber, 52% stopped after one shot, 2.36 shots to stop, and then 13% did not stop. And then a 45, 51% stopped after one shot, 2.08 shots to stop, and then 14% that did not stop. All right, so maybe that'll make sense to you a little bit more as we read. And again, you might want to go just kind of get an idea of looking at this graphic or at the data. All right, the 22 required the least number of shots to stop an attacker as compared to the other cartridges. Some folks use that number to bolster the choice of the 22 as the best defensive sidearm available and criticized me when I stated that I don't believe that's true. Here is one of the emails I received. Quote, I am surprised that you did not accept the fact evident in the data that the Slowly 22 is actually more effective than the higher power cartridges, 9mm, 40, and 45. Your statement, those are likely psychological stops rather than physical incapacitation, is not supported by any data you offer. Rather, it appears to be a purely prejudicial statement which spoils your excellent efforts at conclusions based upon data. In fact, it is very counterintuitive. You are proposing that mouse gun is more intimidating than a 45 ACP, so it scares more people off than the very big opening in a 45 barrel. If you have data supporting this counterintuitive conclusion, please share. My conclusion is that you are doing a disservice by not acknowledging that average folk are much better off carrying 22s for their own personal safety. Inaccurate shot placement of high-power cartridges might just get us Joe average citizen injured during an attack. End quote. First, let me make myself perfectly clear. Shot placement is vitally important. If you can't hit with your chosen carry gun, pick something else. You should certainly be able to pass Gilla Hayes' 5 rounds, 5 seconds into a 5-inch circle at 5 yards test, and there's a link here to that. Cold. Every time you shoot, I would prefer even better performance than that. If you can't meet that standard with one of the common service calibers and can do it with the 22, I would prefer that you carry the 22. No problem at all with that decision. But most of us don't have a physical limitation and can learn to handle a bigger caliber with a minimum amount of training. The reader asked me to explain why I considered the 22 stops to be more likely psychological stops as opposed to physical incapacitations. That's easy to explain, and it doesn't have anything to do with the size of the muzzle. There are only two mechanisms for physically incapacitating someone with a handgun. The first is a shot to the central nervous system. A bullet placed into the brain or the upper spinal cord will usually stop someone instantly. Can the 22 do that? Certainly, but I think a brain or a CNS shot sent at central nervous system is less likely with a 22 than with a larger caliber. Arguably, the 22 is more accurate and controllable than a centerfire pistol. That would make brain and CNS hits more likely if one was aiming there. The problem is the historical lack of penetration in the 22 round. They are notorious for failing to be able to penetrate the skull. I had a doctor in my class last weekend who told me about a patient he treated who had 8 22 bullets under his scalp and none had penetrated into his brain. The patient was conscious, alert, and asking for a beer. I can't even imagine that. Can you? That's crazy, man. 8 bullets in their skull and didn't penetrate their brain. They're conscious and asking for a beer. Wow. All right. Here we go. Continuing on. Most 22 rounds also lack the ability to penetrate deep enough to reach the spinal cord on a front-to-back shot on an average human male. It's for these reasons that I doubt the 22 stops were the result of brain or CNS hits. The only other mechanism for physical incapacitation is through blood loss. On average, a bullet that penetrates deeper and/or makes a larger hole will create more blood loss. We already established that the 22 doesn't penetrate very deeply, and it certainly doesn't make a big hole. That takes blood loss out of the equation. If the 22 bullet doesn't cause CNS disruptions or extensive blood loss, it won't physically incapacitate an attacker. That's why I commented that the 22 stops are likely to be more psychological in nature. The data is what it is. I can't change that. My study showed that people were stopped with fewer shots from the 22 than with any other caliber. Does that mean the 22 is the best choice? Not necessarily. There could be other factors that cause the smaller number of shots until incapacitation. I'm just pulling numbers out of thin air, but let's just postulate that it takes 5 seconds after a person is shot for him to realize he is hit and abort the attack. The average number could be higher or lower, but it doesn't matter. It will still take a few seconds for the bad guy to process the fact that he is shot and decides it's in his best interest to escape before being shot again. A psychological stop. If we are dealing with psychological stops and not physical incapacitations, firing additional rounds at the attacker during his 5-second time frame isn't likely to influence his behavior quicker. The processing takes the time that it takes. Anything that will slow the rate of fire will reduce the number of rounds that the attacker soaks up before he aborts his attack. In other words, the smaller number of rounds until incapacitation could be more the result of slower firing rates than superior cartridge performance. Is the 22 likely to have a slower firing rate? In handguns carried for defensive purposes, yes. Most 22 defensive handguns are of relatively low quality. They are extremely small and difficult to shoot quickly. Compare the rate of fire between an NAA mini revolver in 22 and a 9mm Glock. Which do you think you could shoot faster? And then there's a picture here. The 22 rimfire round is also more prone to malfunctions than any centerfire round. A malfunction will also decrease the rate of fire. Rate of fire wasn't factored into my study and could have caused the low numbers for the 22. Another fact that many people haven't considered is the difference between police and armed citizen gunfights. My friend Claude Werner often points out that when a criminal is involved in a gunfight with the police, the stakes are higher. The criminal knows that the cops won't stop until he's dead or in jail. That's not true with a gunfight against an armed citizen. The armed citizen just wants a break in the fight. If he can cause a criminal to flee, he wins and stops shooting. When criminals fight the police, they are likely to fight harder and take more rounds before giving up because they know giving up equals a long prison sentence. Giving up and running away when fighting an armed citizen has no such negative consequences. Many of the gunfights involving 9mm, 40, and 45 calibers in my study were police gunfights. Very few of the 22 data was from police gunfights. The very nature of the difference between the victim characteristics and the different gunfights could also account for the smaller number of rounds taken by those hit with the 22. Here's the good news for the 22 carriers. In Claude's lifetime study of defensive gun uses, he has yet to find a single case where an armed citizen was killed by a criminal after the criminal had taken at least one 22 round. In the case of civilian defensive gun usage, the criminal almost always flees after the first hit. I have been unable to find any gunfights that prove Claude wrong. But take a look at the third column in the table above. That's the statistic that most 22 advocates choose to ignore. It's the percentage of people who were not physically incapacitated after any number of rounds. It's roughly 3 times higher with the 22 as compared to the service caliber cartridges. Yes, the criminals fled, but they were not incapacitated. They could continue to fight back if they chose to. If you were to face the rare motivated criminal who presses the fight, would you want a 22 or something else? Encountering the motivated criminal who presses the fight against an armed citizen is exceedingly rare, but it is a possibility. Should you prepare for the statistical norm or the statistical anomaly? In my view, I think it's best to prepare for the worst possible outcome rather than the most likely. Statistically, you are unlikely to ever need a gun at all. Yet most of my readers want to prepare for the worst, so they carry a gun. Why wouldn't you use the same logic when choosing an appropriate defensive sidearm? My best advice to you is carry a gun that is reliable and shoots well. If your preference is a 22, it will probably serve you well. My preference is to carry something a little larger when it's convenient. All right, so normally Greg doesn't have his comments open. On this one, he does have the comments open. I think because this is an older article, and you know, since then, I think he's kind of closed off comments, just not to moderate. You know, if you own a website and you've got to moderate comments, so much of it is spam. I mean, almost 95% of it is spam. It's such a pain in the butt. So I think a lot of people do away with the comments because of that. But there's some good comments here, so you can check those out. But very interesting data there. You know, a bunch of different takes on that as far as, you know, criminals, you know, going after just a regular citizen versus a cop, and then the various calibers and how those are taken, you know, all that data. Again, you might want to go over to this, you know, to the website and into the article and find this, just the chart of data and kind of look it over and look it over for yourself and kind of, you know, just process it. I think it's interesting to have that and to get that information there. So good article there. You know, we get a lot of articles of, you know, what's the best rifle to have in, you know, when the poop hits the fan and all that kind of stuff. And undoubtedly, number one on the list is like a 22 rifle. That is like one of the, you know, you can hunt game with that. You know, that is one of the best ones. That ammo is cheap and you can train in all those different kinds of things. You know, you can go out and just shoot at targets and not worry that you're, you know, shooting off a whole bunch of, you know, spending a whole lot of money if you're on a budget. And so the 22 is one of those that a lot of people say that you should have that. Then you go up to like a shotgun, or I'm not even dealing with, you know, with handguns, but I'm just talking about rifles. And normally it's the next option is a shotgun, you know, if you are, you know, the poop hits the fan type thing. And then you go into like, okay, are you going into like a, you know, an AR type weapon, or you're going into, you know, like a 30-06 or a 308, your rifle, you know, hunting rifle, you know, so all that. But usually it's like a 22 and a shotgun around those two. And then later on down, you know, it just depends on whoever's writing the article and the preference there. And, you know, for whatever reason you're preparing for, right? If you're preparing for hunting big game or you're preparing to defend yourself, there's, you know, different views on that. But the 22 long rifle, you know, cartridge, and then the rifle are, you know, it's a great cartridge to have. Like I said, the defense, his scenarios here or his rationales, if you don't have good shot placement with a 9mm or on up, carry a 22, you know. And maybe for some, like I've talked about this before, I've known teachers who have purchased guns. And they went out and got the nice little cute 380s, and they go out to the shooting range for the first time, and it scares the crap out of them because it's so small and it kicks so much that they can't shoot it. And so they shoot it once or twice and then never shoot it again. And so maybe it would be better for them to start out with a 22 and get a little bit more comfortable with a 22 and then work yourself up from there. So that might be, you know, reasonable, and then, you know, you can use a little bit of this data in that regards there. Anybody who, you know, is trying to harm someone else and you pull out a gun, they're not going to look at that gun and say, ooh, is that a 22 or is that a 9mm? Is that a 45? I mean, they're, you know, criminals are not going to be, are not that gun savvy to be able to do that. And so that's probably why you have this data that you have here in this article, that they see a gun, they see the shots, they feel the, you know, they get shot, and they wind up taking off. So that's why the percentage of stops after one shot is 60%. So that might be a rationale to carry a 22 there if you are you know barely starting out and you are trying to, you know, learn firearms and get used to it. If you're, you know, a woman, you're trying to figure out, hey, what's the best gun for me? Maybe starting out with the 22, they're cheaper to purchase. And like I said, the ammo is a lot cheaper. You can go to the firing range and just shoot off a ton of 22 and not feel it that badly. Not, you know, like firing off of a 45. You know, you're feeling that one a little bit more if you are you know, in a situation where your money is tight. Anyway, so that's over at Active Response Training. Both of these articles, I think, had, you know, are articles that you want to go check out if you can, just for the data on this one, and then pictures and links and stuff like that. All right, guys, so that's it for episode 227. Thanks so much for spending the week with me. It's another great week, another, you know, great articles that the preparedness community puts out there. But if this weekend you go through the weekend and you're like, man, I'd like to have a little bit more preparedness. I'd like to, you know, to maybe read some. You come over to PrepperWebsite.com and we have tons. You know, there every day we post anywhere between 8 to 12. Sometimes even more articles from the preparedness community, and we put those up on Prepper website, and it is daily. And so there's tons of content there. You can get your fill, and then we have the special pages like Alt News Hub, but we have DIY, we have Frugal, we have firearms, we have all different kinds of things that would really pique your interest a little bit for everybody. And so if, like I said, if you're interested in some more preparedness for this weekend, come on over to PrepperWebsite.com. We'll definitely meet that need of yours. And if you haven't joined the Facebook group, I'd love for you to come join the group. And then don't forget about the Alt News Hub on Facebook. We have that link for you there and you know, on in the show notes. And I'd love for you to come over and be a part of that. It's just getting started. And like I said, I just did it this evening. And so it is brand new, but it is working. And so I'm excited to see where that might go. And with that, choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government grid or the grind. Until next week, stay prepped and aware. Peace.